Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the Early Morning Late Show. Bill Arnold with you this morning. It is November 12th, and there are just 48 days left in the year. Can you believe that? Hope your weekend was good. I'm excited to be back in the studio this morning. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20 and 21, "May I not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all my heart. May I not turn aside to go after worthless things, which do not profit or deliver, because they are useless." I know that's kind of an odd way to start Monday morning, because we're usually out trying to do things that profit and deliver. But let's just keep in mind, it's all worthless in God's economy, in the big picture, because our homes are in heaven and our eternity is with Him. And although it's good to be productive and do great work, which is what I pray you do this morning, it is also just keep in mind there is much worthlessness out there in material things. It's our relationship with Christ and loving our neighbors is what we need to keep focused on. So there's a start for the day. There was a very strong earthquake that shook the border between Iraq and Iran, and we need to pray for those people. It was a 7.3 quake. And at least 30 people have died, and thousands, I think, are panicked and fleeing the scene and looking for refuge. So we need to keep those folks in mind as we get our Monday started. Lots of things in the news. We're going to start off our morning with rehashing some of the weekend stories with my friend Patrick Albanese from prestigious West Des Moines. I believe he's already on our studio line, so we'll catch up with him in just a minute. It's 6 minutes after the hour. Good morning. So glad you're with me.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could...
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
And of course, that theme music belongs to Patrick Albanese, my friend and colleague from Des Moines. Good morning, Patrick.
You forgot prestigious.
Please. I will backtrack from prestigious West Des Moines.
Yes.
Yes. I like to mix it up a little bit.
You know that. Instant prestige. Instant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to just give a little heads up to all the soccer moms out there just to get things started. Dodge is coming out with the SRT Demon, which is a limited production 840 horsepower car. It goes from 0 to 60 in 2.3 seconds. That'll get the kids to soccer practice on time.
More importantly, is getting them out of soccer practice. You know, the parents these days always get into some sort of fisticuffs and say, you know, you need an escape route.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many kids you can fit in that vehicle, but 840 horsepower.
840. Yeah. 0 to 60 in 2.3 seconds. That to me is kind of an interesting concept.
Do you have the price tag on that thing?
No, they didn't say. They didn't say.
Wait. That was 0 to 60 in what?
2.3 seconds.
So in just under a second, you're already speeding in a school zone. I mean, you get a ticket just turning that vehicle on. I think I want one.
Yeah. So I was reading a research study over the weekend about the way we, as consumers, are willing to change our spending habits. They say that 40% of us will change our spending habits based on a single experience with the business. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it does. In fact, I was up in Minneapolis last week, and I went to eat at one of these little lunch places that has been there for years, and they're a small chain, and I had never been there before. And not only was the sandwich they made me quite excellent, but the service was so outstanding that I said, all right, I'll be back here. You know, every time I'm up here, this is probably going to be my little lunch place. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of my, this is on my list of lunch places. It's one experience, and it was so good. So that's it. You won me.
Mm-hmm.
Contrary to the experience I had at the coffee shop in a small town here in Iowa yesterday, where after 15 minutes, I said, is it possible that you could maybe get my coffee? They said, well, I had already paid for it, right? 15 minutes later, I go, am I going to be getting my coffee? They said, well, we're out of coffee.
Oh, God. And you're at a coffee place, right?
I said, well, how does a coffee shop run out of coffee?
Oh, yeah. That makes me crazy.
You took my money 15 minutes ago, and only now you're getting around to telling me you're out of coffee?
Yeah. But they say that everything now is getting a digital layer. So we experience everything as it happens in real time. So if you have an experience at any kind of retail outlet or a place where you can instantly fire some kind of angry response, you do have the opportunity to change a person's decision to continue to do business there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, obviously that's the kind of power that could be abused. You could, you know, because I was heading somewhere, I didn't really have time to, you know, look for the company's Facebook page and fire off the angry post saying, this is outrageous. You know, you ran out of coffee. You've ruined my life. Because we take things that seriously when life is going well. We take the trivial as the biggest insult. But so, of course, by the time my wife and I had to go see a little play in this small town, and by the time we get out, she says, well, why don't you see if they got coffee now and head over there? And they remembered me and said, your coffee's ready. So it only took 3 hours.
Well, that's not bad.
I drink my cup of coffee on the way home, and it's pretty good. And I said, you know, I didn't write off my angry email, and now I'm not going to do it.
Good.
Because I know me, and I'm not going to get around to it. And they go, you know what, maybe a three-hour window before you fire something off. I mean, I know the temptation is to say, but I'm angry right now.
Right.
So this is when I'm going to write the most clear, the most logical, the most convincing letter to get this company.
Wrong.
Not true.
Not true. But yeah. Don't you think our civility would improve as a country if we kind of just calmed down a little bit and maybe not race to our laptop or our phone to write this review when we're so mad?
Yeah, I almost miss the old days, you know, when it was actually quite difficult to, say, put together a boycott. Because, you know, somebody does something, and the next thing you know, you say, that's it, destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't, I disagree, it's destroy. In my humble opinion, that seems to be a bad development.
No, I agree. I agree.
Oh.
So I was reading also the new security layers that churches are putting in place. I know you go to a very big church in West Des Moines, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people show up every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what security is like around your neck of the woods?
Well, I mean, we have had, I'd say for at least a couple years now, there's usually a police officer there. Yeah, usually an
uniform?
Extremely friendly guy, probably thinking, this is the gig.
Yeah. Is he a uniformed?
Uniformed.
Officer? Okay.
Yeah, and I don't, you don't even want to think that something could happen there, and you don't even want to, you'd hate to kind of come out of the worship center and see some guy on the ground with his hands handcuffed behind his back saying, what just happened here?
Right.
I agree. It's it's kind of another not so great development.
Yeah, but I look at what's going on in Sutherland with disaster that happened there, and I think, boy, that's a little tiny small Baptist church in little tiny town of Texas. It's starting to penetrate everywhere throughout our country that you usually used to think that those little country churches are safe, but maybe not so much anymore. So we need to be praying that the house of worship continues to be a place where people are safe and they feel comfortable going and not be anxious.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, this doesn't bring any comfort, but we live in such a wonderful, prosperous, for the most part, safe time. 99% of anybody's given day, you say, I'm just safe to kind of freely move about and do whatever I wish. And, you know, we forget that the faith that we practice was launched in some pretty turbulent times. And, you know, there were even some apostles saying that Jesus guy, don't know him, you know, because just knowing him was kind of a problem.
Oh, right.
You know, it's hard to get in the mindset of what is it like to walk through life with fear. We don't like it.
Right. And I was reading this morning out of 1 Samuel, and it says, may I not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all my heart. May I not turn aside to go after worthless things which do not profit or deliver because they are useless. Just as a start to our Monday and our work week, it's always a good reminder to say we serve the King, and we want to seek Him and Him first, and just trust Him for all of our provisions.
Now, when is that not good advice? I'm just asking.
It's always good advice. Yeah.
For a friend.
Yeah.
Let it be you, by the way.
Yeah, well, we'll discuss that after the break. It's 16 minutes after the hour. I'm speaking to Patrick Albanese, my friend from prestigious West Des Moines. We'll be right back. Good morning. It's 18 minutes after the hour. I'm chatting with my friend and colleague, Patrick Albanese, and we are looking over what happened over the weekend. And Patrick, I saw a pretty prominent obituary of a gossip columnist. Liz Smith died at 94, and she was the slightly gentler type. She didn't like to weigh in on people's embarrassments. She just sort of gossiped about what went on. And you know, sadly to say, we all love gossip, don't we?
Yes. I mean, I've heard that about you. I'm just saying.
That's what you've heard.
That's what I've heard. Word on the street.
Uh-huh. And you've been listening to that, haven't you?
Yeah. You know, I don't know if it's especially, you know, she was kind of her specialty was celebrity gossip, because it's not like she's going to pick, you know, Joe Johnson from Akron.
Right.
Say, you're not going to believe how Joe lives his life. It's unbelievable. He gets up, he drives to work, and he comes home. You know, we want to live vicariously, and sometimes we look at celebrities. Maybe that's why, you know, when we're seeing all this backlash with the celebrities going down over all of these scandals, is you know, hey, maybe there's a sick part of us that says their life can't be that perfect, can it?
Right.
Please, there's something wrong. Please tell me that maybe I made the right choices and that my little simple life is actually okay.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, in light of the way in which we do like to have inside information and did you hear so-and-so, we do like to gossip. For some reason, I mean, she was paid $1 million a year to write a gossip column. So it's something that it conflicts with what the Bible teaches about unwholesome talk coming out of our mouths. It's easy to do, isn't it?
Well, the Ephesians didn't mention anywhere that you can make $1 million opening your mouth and saying things like that. But of course, that's where the money's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, a newspaper prints, you know, negative news and the old headline, if it bleeds, it leads. And I guess that's a sad part of our psyche. I'm not saying that I'm less guilty than anyone else out there. Unfortunately, I'm in the supermarket checkout line and I'm thinking, there's the National Enquirer still in business after all these years. That means some of that stuff must be true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't pick them up, but I've been known to peruse the cover saying, huh, look at that, Liz Taylor. She's still having marriage troubles.
Nobody saw that coming.
Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And always a bride for a bridesmaid.
In James chapter 1, verse 26, it says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. So everybody across all religious lines need to be forewarned.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes when you talk like this, when you use these biblical things, you know,
yeah,
it can sound like we're going to need something a little bit bigger than just living a good life to get out of this thing with a clean slate. You know, it's almost like you're pointing us towards that grace thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know where you come up with that idea.
Yeah.
Probably the same place, right?
Exactly. So now you're from Chicago, so your Bears played the Packers yesterday, and at Soldier Field they had a half-empty game. There was quite a few people that were protesting for Veterans Day.
Quite a few, and you know, it's funny. I've so gotten used to, I guess I'm doing my own protest, you know, by saying, okay, I don't need you guys, and I've been enjoying my Sundays and doing some other things. That by the time I got home from this event that my wife and I and the kids went to, I had forgotten not to watch football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, oh no, I forgot to not watch. I mean, I didn't watch.
Right.
It's become so normal now that I said, like, oh my gosh, this is almost a new normal here. I have forgotten to skip it. I just skipped it without even noticing that I skipped it. I don't get to pat myself on back and say, there you are, you good little protester, you.
And
maybe that's an okay thing. You know, it took up a big chunk of my day. But, a half-filled stadium, it's interesting. I saw that Roger Goodell, in the midst of all this, has decided he wants a pay raise from $44 million to approximately $50 million and the use of a private jet.
Yes.
I'm like, who does that? Who runs an organization into the ground and says, by the way, I'd like a 50% raise and I want the company jet?
Yes.
Who does that?
Right.
You know,
now, you might think I have a random schedule of things to talk about this morning, but listen up here. We're talking about making more time for yourself on the weekends by doing things differently, which is what you've been doing. And I'm reading a story about a Marine veteran who lost his legs in Afghanistan, and he completes his final marathon of a 31-day stretch. Now, he's got those springy legs on, prosthetic legs. Let me just remind you, he ran a marathon every day for 31 days straight. Talk about the human spirit and what we have in the tank that very few of us ever tap into.
Hang on, I'm just trying to absorb that story. What drives somebody to do that?
Well, obviously he lost his legs in the war and decided that he was going to show something to himself and to the world that his life is not going to change or slow down. And so he runs 31 marathons in 31 days, and it raised about $125,000 for the soldiers and created a lot of awareness. And I think, you know, you go out for an 8-mile walk and you kind of don't want to walk for a couple of days.
You said 8 miles?
Yeah, I said 8 miles.
I'm thinking, I think I'm 8 blocks. You go for an 8-block walk.
And you got your feet up for a couple of days, don't you?
Yeah, I took the kids out for trick-or-treating, and I said, that's it. We those are the rules. You stay on our street. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And we live in cul-de-sac, so we don't go far. But it wiped me out.
But what about the human spirit? What about what's in the tank that we're not getting access to?
Well, you know what's funny? You know, a lot of times when you talk to people that are just, you know, evolutionists, and who says you can't believe in evolution and believe in God at the same time, correct? We have this discussion frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say, okay, tell me where that comes from. Because no other animal has that. Yes, you know, you might have a dog. If you have two dogs and one of them dies, the one might whimper and might have some feelings. But you say, but, you know, it isn't like the dog says, I'm going to build a monument in memory of that dog and make sure no other dog dies like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I go, wait, you know, in the evolutionary process, how does any of that make any sense that we would develop this spirit, that we would have this, we would always have this need to find, you know, we have that hole that we have to fill. And of course, the correct choice is if you look to God, it's filled, but we human beings look everywhere else. So I hear a story like that and I think, tell me there's no God.
Right.
Tell me there's no bigger picture to this existence of being a human that creates that, because that doesn't just evolve, that you have that thing that's built into us.
Right.
And, you know, it's not rare. Well, he's rare, in our circle. And when I say our circle, I mean just you and me. We're not built like that. You know?
That's for sure.
But we certainly can admire it, and we have there's hundreds, millions of those stories. We say, what makes a person do that? It doesn't make normal logical sense if you're just thinking of the selfish human being.
Yeah.
That's not a selfish guy.
No, it's not. But I'm always inspired by those stories, because we need to look outside of our own little routines and schedules and try to figure out new ways in which we can push ourselves a little bit harder, because I always think that we're always got a lot more in the tank than what we're expending, because I think there is a certain laziness quality to all of us. And yeah. I know personally I've got to be careful not to get caught into the trap myself.
I'm certainly inherently lazy. I call it a genetic predisposition towards inactivity. But you hear something like a guy losing both of his legs in combat, and you say, let me get this straight. So your reaction is to come back and say, how can I help other people?
Yep.
I know my tendency might be to wallow for a couple of decades.
Yeah.
Maybe four.
Yeah, or five. Patrick, thanks so much for being on the show. I'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Thanks. Have a great week, everybody.
Yep. 28 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break, and then I'll be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 31 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a little break for news, and then Ruth Kramer is going to be with us from Mission Network News. We're going to find out what's going on around the world with missionaries. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for being with me this morning. It's 24 minutes until the top of the hour. Nancy Ortberg, I think that's John's wife, very smart author and speaker. She says, accepting your circumstances with humility allows us to trust God more deeply. Let's hear more about that.
Dallas Willard says the definition of humility is one word. It's reality. That's all humility is. It's just reality. I'm not all that. I don't have all the answers. I don't know. Like, when I think about life not turning out the way I expected, how did I think it would? How did I think that in my mind's eye that would somehow forecast my future? So there's this really freeing humility that comes with that kind of courage to take the next step, that I'm going to keep moving forward, even though the picture of my future looks so different than I thought, and even though I don't see the path in front of me, I see maybe just enough light, or even I can just feel with my feet, metaphorically, how to take that next step, and really trust that in the movement, God is going to find me, and God is going to direct me.
Well said, Nancy Ortberg. If you want to hear that full interview, go to myfaithradio.com. You can type in Nancy Ortberg or Seeing Dark, and that will get you to that interview. Very nicely done. We'll take a little break. Ruth Kramer is already with us on our Skype line. We'll be back in a minute.
In present-day America, the battle to maintain the First Amendment has boiled down to the issues surrounding homosexual behavior. This is Jim Garlow. Who would have thought that to be true 50 or even 25 years ago? The coerced acceptance of homosexual behavior and homosexual marriage have become the vortex for the crushing of the first portions of our Bill of Rights. Religious liberty is under attack from sexual anarchists who believe there's a God-given right to sexual lawlessness. It must be remembered, every sinful act is by definition a lawless one. But homosexual activists have been very successful propagandizing their movement by appeal to emotions. After all, they say, love is love. Individuals and society pays and pays dearly when we reject God's gracious and life-giving laws. Be well-versed at jimgarlow.com.
To boldly go where no one has gone before.
And of course, that theme song belongs to Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. Earlier in the hour, I was talking about the new Dodge Challenger. It's going to be a limited production car that goes 60 miles an hour in 2.3 seconds. Ruth Kramer's name is already on the wait list to get one. She loves her speed. Good morning, Ruth.
I love my speed, which is why I drive a Prius.
Yeah.
Well, it's 0 to 60 eventually.
Eventually, yes. Yeah. So that's very funny. I like that. So how have you been? I haven't spoken to you in a little while.
It's been a pretty active couple of weeks, actually.
Have you been on the road traveling?
Yeah, well, the last time that one of your producers had contacted me to do an interview, I was actually in Beirut. So not as easy to do there. Some of the things that were going on were just really not conducive to talking about what we were doing and why we were doing it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, go ahead.
I was also, just because I want to include you in on this conversation, because you're a runner and a good runner. And you've won lots of awards. There's an Afghanistan vet who lost both of his legs. And I said earlier in the show, he ran 31 marathons in 31 days with two prosthetic legs.
Oh my goodness!
And I was just saying, what's in our tank that's untapped? When you're coaching girls and you try to get them to the next level, how do you encourage them to do that?
On the track,
yeah.
I get on the track behind him, and I say, don't let the old lady pass you.
I love it.
Mostly it's to try to not be humiliated by, you know, by the old lady.
All right, let's talk about some of the pastors in Sudan. Boy, they feel like they're talk about persecution.
Well, again, part of the reason why I couldn't speak with you guys the last couple of weeks is because I was actually meeting with the exiles of Sudan when we were in Beirut. And it was very interesting. We were spending the time kind of gathering to hear their stories and to hear some of the challenges that are going on, what it's like to be a pastor in a country that has sworn to become an Islamic state, to get rid of all Christian influence in the country, and is doing what they can to actually pursue that. A lot of these pastors that I met with were actually trained by the Arab Bible Theological Seminary in Beirut. And so they were kind of back to an alma mater, back to familiar grounds and feeling a little bit more free to talk about some of the actual challenges that they face in ministry in a country that has made it very clear that everything they say and do is considered a state crime.
Punishable by death?
Apostasy is a punishable situation that is punishable by death. There are a lot of times when Christians that are arrested are charged with very, very high state crimes. So in the situation of the story that you're citing here, the pastor that I spoke with was arrested and then facing things like treason and espionage and taking pictures of the wrong things. And those became situations where if he was convicted on those charges, he would have been facing the death penalty. However, a lot of people around the world were praying for the situation. He was released, and so he lives in North Sudan, and he did not give up his ministry. He just asked God to make him creative and wise and bold about his faith. So in spite of the fact that he endured torture and time behind bars that was very uncertain, he came out stronger in his assurance of who Jesus Christ is and what it means to be facing the paradox of persecution. One of the things that I asked him is, how can people be praying for you? What do you need? You know, in a ministry that has a lot of difficulty, a lot of challenges, I was thinking funding would be one of the things, to get behind a ministry that supports the local church, because that voice is very quickly being stamped out. A lot of the foreign mission organizations have been actually kicked out for maybe 5-6 years now, and it's been a very isolating situation. So when I asked him that question, he says, our number one prayer request is that we ask you to pray for us. Pray that we remain bold, that these situations, these circumstances won't silence us. We won't be cowed into intimidation, that we are smart about how we share the message of grace, how we live this message of grace, because, at any given time, something could be a misstep, and then you wind up, facing arrest or facing beatings or facing other things. And it's hard for us to understand what this might mean, always looking over your shoulder. But that's what they do. They have to kind of look over their shoulder as they do what they're called to do. So he asked that we continue to pray that evidence of the Great Commission surfaces daily, that he is able to respond to that daily. And in a lot of situations, you know, what they also ask for is pray for changed hearts, not only for the people that they're living and working with, but also that the government has transformation from the inside, because mm-hmm. that's the only way that things actually change with the ideology is when Christ steps in and he changes the whole landscape of the worldview, then other things start to change. So they're asking for a prayer for the change in government, change in heart for the government officials, the people who are actually making these arrests, because they come across so many believers that those gospel messages are constantly in front of them. And he's just praying that at some point the Holy Spirit starts to work so that that stuff starts to trickle through.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine when you live with that much persecution and fear that you can get easily discouraged. So we should also remember these pastors in our prayer time as much as we can to feel encouraged and emboldened to continue their work that God has laid on their hearts to do.
Yeah, you know, he shared a verse with me as he was praying. He was actually praying for North American believers
wow.
that they would be bold, that they would
really,
And he wasn't really concerned about us praying for them so much as that we needed the prayer. he said he cited 2 Corinthians 4:8-10, which is, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not
yes.
crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And we will always carry around in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body."
I love that, Ruth. Let me take a break. When we come back, there are much more to talk about. I'm talking to Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News, and it's 15 minutes until the top of the hour. We're back. It's 12 minutes till the top of the hour. I'm speaking to Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News. And one of the reasons I always love talking to Ruth is we get things put in context, because sometimes as we go about our American Western ways, we forget how comfortable we can be and how unpersecuted we can feel. And I think of what's going on right now in Yemen with the Saudis cutting off supplies because of what's going on politically right now. And these people now are living in a very dire situation. And cholera is popping up, and nearly a million people have contracted cholera, and there's been more than 2,000 deaths. And this epidemic is not going away soon, is it, Ruth?
Well, yeah, you're talking about the blockade.
I am.
I think with Yemen, there are a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes that we weren't aware of. As I was interviewing Miles Windsor from Middle East Concern, I said, this just, the information that doesn't come out of Yemen feels a lot like the information that doesn't come out of North Korea. I mean, it's a very secretive kind of a situation where verifiable stories take a long time to get, because it's just so difficult to confirm information and to actually get these stories out of the country, especially when it comes to the underground church, because the persecution levels are extremely high. Yemen stands at number 10, I believe, on the World Watch List for open doors in terms of the types of the heaviness of the oppression that believers face. So the church has gone underground in Yemen. The situation here that we're discussing, though, is really complicated with what's going on in the Middle East. One thing I wanted to clarify is that Saudi Arabia made the decision to seal the borders last week. As of today, they have decided to ease up a little bit on the closure of those borders. They are reopening the airports and the seaports in response to international pressure. But even as Saudi Arabia is trying to lessen the blockade, the rebels that are in Yemen, the Houthi rebels, are threatening to kind of escalate the situation. What you have here is really a classic Sunni versus Shiite conflict and rivalry. So the whole thing that set into motion this blockade is that Saudi Arabia had intercepted a missile bound for Riyadh, its capital city, and it had Iranian markings on it. So Saudi Arabia knew that it was coming from Yemen, but also said that the missile was supplied by Iran, which is a Shiite government. And Yemen has the Houthi rebels, which are also Shiite. And, you know, with the attack coming on a Sunni powerhouse, I should say, you know, it sets it right back into, okay, so now we're looking at anyone that would be connected to the Shiites are going to be where we're going to be focusing our attention. So that now draws in not only Yemen and the Houthis, but also Lebanon and the Hezbollah. And so things that have been going on over the weekend, while Saudi Arabia has lessened the blockade to allow some of the humanitarian aid in to deal with the food shortages, the famine, and the cholera epidemic, they're also warning all of their citizens to leave Lebanon because of the situation escalating with Hezbollah. And they're basically saying this is becoming a very dangerous situation all the way around. And there are fears that Lebanon could get dragged into a proxy war, into the rivalry between Saudi Arabia and Yemen, and ultimately Iran. So there's some things that are really cooking here. There are a lot of concerns about what's going to happen because Lebanon has a very fresh memory of war. It was a civil war, but it was still war, 15 years of it between the 1970s and the early 90s. And they really don't want to get dragged into another one.
Mm-hmm. Ruth, I'm very curious about the ambition that the mission organizations have to reach the entire Muslim world. I think this is very exciting. There is currently 1,053 Muslim people groups who don't have anyone sharing the gospel with them. And some of these groups have population numbers in the millions. So how and why, I mean, how are these groups organizing to try to reach the entire Muslim population by 2025?
Well, one thing I'm going to say about this is that what is really encouraging is that more and more ministries are coming together and networking and utilizing their strengths and sharing resources rather. And so they're not reinventing the wheel. They're just kind of adding an additive to the gasoline that powers the engine that's going to move these wheels forward, which is a change over what it's been. And also because the situation with getting into the Muslim world has been complicated by so many of these other issues where you have war and fighting and things like that. You just need to do it together. So there's a coalition called Vision 5-9, and it's a network of 180 mission organizations that wants to reach the Muslim world for Christ by 2025. So they just had a conference to try to figure out how they're going to do this. They met with 900 Christian leaders and missionaries at a consultation last month. And really, they're trying to organize, they're trying to recognize, they're trying to figure out really how to do this well, how to engage people, how to encourage people who are outside of the Muslim world to have a heart for this too. So there are sources that are coming up. And a lot of these situations, you're also looking at really a call to the people who've come out of a Muslim background who are believers, who are followers of Christ, to basically take that message back. Because who else would better be able to answer some of the questions that Muslims might have about Christianity than people who used to be Muslims? So, you know, now you're looking at more of the population of followers of Christ who were from a Muslim background who are banding together now and saying, you know, I have this to add to the pile. Let's go ahead and figure out how we can take this resource and put it in front of these people. And in fact, you know, there aside from Vision 5-9, Mission Network News is also involved with this. We've partnered with Mohabbat TV and Heart for Iran, and we'll be releasing a new resource called Reaching the Muslims Next Door. And it's a pamphlet that we're offering through Heart for Iran. And it's just basically taking the most simple kinds of things and saying, when you find a Muslim in your neighborhood or you run into someone in your community, be prepared. But just be friendly. It starts with just being friendly and open. And being Christ to people, you're supposed to be Christ to people anyway, but being Christ to people, especially that are unfamiliar. And now that we have holidays coming up, that's a really good time to offer hospitality, because hospitality speaks to the Muslim world and it opens doors in ways that other things don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know and a good reminder, and always inspiring to hear stories of people so anxious to reach the Muslim people with the gospel.
Well, let's also be praying. I mean, obviously, the story that we have on our website that talks about Vision 5-9 and the coalition and all of the things that are going on and what's happening here. These are all things that can't happen without the foundation of prayer. So pray that the Great Commission would be advanced in this generation. Pray that the Muslim people groups would have a chance to hear about, you know, our Heavenly Father's love and grace and salvation through Jesus Christ. The Muslim world is searching for truth. They are searching for God. They have been misled in a lot of different things. So, you know, we claim that the Bible, the Word of God, is truth, and that needs to be shared. Look for ways to do that in a loving and winsome way.
Mm-hmm. Ruth, when you get to Minneapolis, where I live, hopefully we can have a foot race, and I'd just like to see who would win. And it'll either be me or my stunt double up against you.
Uh-huh. So you're how tall?
I'm 5'10".
Oh, okay. You're not that much taller than I am.
Okay. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Have a good day.
Yeah. 3 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break. We'll be back in a minute.
Everything is fine.
That wraps up hour one. Thanks, Ruth Kramer and Patrick Albanese, for making it such a great hour. Hour two is coming up just around the corner. We have Dr. Linda Mintel from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. She's going to talk about how to handle blatant hostility and conflict. So we're going to talk to her, and then Dr. Richard Land. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend, and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.